It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot.
Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And we got breaking news. Sam Darnold traded from the Jets to the Carolina Panthers. And the guy who reported over the weekend that the Carolina Panthers were the most likely destination is with me right now, my friend Nick Spano, co-founder at U Stadium. Nick, I got to be honest with you. Above and beyond everything else that we're going to talk about, I'm just glad this is over and we can all breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the most important thing, right? I had people like, you saw some crazy takes on Twitter like, oh, I hope to cut him at this point. Like, oh, I just want him off the team. And they're like, just, you know, relax a little bit. You know, the reports were saying, and, you know, we probably should have, I think we mentioned this on last week's show, we probably should have listened when we saw or when we heard that Joe Douglas was going to wait for the pro day, you know, to wind up, you know, to wind down. And what did he do? You know, pro day week ended last week, Monday right away, he makes the deal, you know, so the timeline added up. It was, you know, we didn't want to believe it at the time. We were like, oh, we should have done it before free agency, or we should have done it day two of free agency, or, you know, then you started leaning towards like, all right, well, maybe this is trending towards like a day two of the draft thing, like a Josh Rosen. And that's where I was.
Yeah.
You know, in the mindset, like, all right, well, maybe they're going to, you know, try and, you know, hold a team to the fire who misses out, like a Carolina or like Washington or Chicago, you know, a team that can't make the move to go up and get their guy. They find the price way too expensive, and they'll strike on day two with a Darnold trade. But, you know, I heard over the weekend, you know, Carolina is really aggressive. They really wanted the quarterback. They dropped out of the Watson, you know, situation when more and more of these accusations came out. And then obviously with the 49ers trade to move all the way up and knowing that it would take even more for Carolina to do so, and they would still not be able to get, you know, they'd be onto their fourth option at that point. And there was no way Atlanta was going to give them the, you know, the opportunity to come up and draft their franchise or potential franchise quarterback. So, Carolina sweetened the deal a bit, and it was enough for Douglas to take it and move on.
According to reports, this had been going on for a couple of weeks, and what you had said over the weekend, Nick, was not only that Carolina was the team to watch, but that the Jets were still very confident that they were going to get at least a second round pick, and that's what you'd been saying all the way around. I at first thought, once all that crazy stuff was going on with these quarterbacks and you heard the rumors about Wentz, that maybe the Jets had a shot at a late first rounder or some sort of pick swap involving Darnold. Then after some of these teams filled their vacancies, I thought there's no way they're getting even a second round pick. Maybe they could get a third that's conditional that could become a second if they're lucky, but they stuck to their guns and they were able to get what they wanted. The interesting thing here is that everybody knew that Carolina was looking to upgrade. Teddy Bridgewater was okay last year, but he's very limited. As you and I were saying before we started recording, he's a lot like Alex Smith before the injury. He's safe, he's fine, he's not going to rock the boat, but he's not going to win you games. And if you really want to have a passing game that's going to make a dent, you need somebody better than Teddy Bridgewater. And that's what Joe Brady and Matt Rhule were thinking with this move, because Matt Rhule really liked Sam Darnold when he interviewed with the Jets in 2019. Darnold was one of the big reasons that Rhule was interested in the job and almost ended up as the head coach. We know the story there. It ended up not happening because the Jets didn't want Matt Rhule to have his choice of offensive coordinators. Rule wanted somebody who is more inexperienced. The Jets felt that Darnold would be better in the hands of a more experienced offensive mind. Ironic, because the experienced offensive mind they ended up giving him was Adam Gase, which ultimately played a huge role in ruining Sam Darnold's experience here with the New York Jets, and he'll get a fresh start in Carolina. But the fascinating thing, Nick, is when they were going to move on from Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold was certainly not their top choice. By all accounts, they really wanted Matthew Stafford. They tried hard to get him, going as far as offering the number 8 overall pick and more to get him. Instead, the Lions end up trading him to the Rams. That's where Stafford really wanted to go. They really wanted Deshaun Watson, but as you said, as more and more of this stuff has come out, teams realize that even though we don't know exactly what's going to happen, nobody can trade for Watson until there's some sort of resolution. So those two guys were out. The other thing that we heard is that Carolina was very interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, but the San Francisco 49ers have said, if you want Garoppolo, it's going to take a first-round pick. The Panthers were not giving up a first-round pick. Then you pivot to the draft. I'm sure they would have loved to have gotten one of those quarterbacks. In fact, as you and I have talked about off the air, the Panthers owner, David Tepper, was at the Senior Bowl where Mac Jones was. All kinds of whispers that the reason he was there was to spend time with Mac Jones, and that perhaps Jones would have been the pick at number 8. But more and more evidence seems to be suggesting that he's not going to be there at number 8. And when teams make moves like this, it means that they have intel that tells them that. There's a very good chance that the 5 quarterback prospects that we're all thinking will go in the first round could go within the first 5 or 6 picks. We know that a quarterback is going number 1. We know a quarterback's going number 2. We know a quarterback's going number 3. I'm sure Carolina would have loved to trade up to number 4, but as you said, their division rival, the Atlanta Falcons, were never ever going to allow that. They may very well trade that pick. In fact, I think they will, but it is not going to be to Carolina. So somebody will go up and get that quarterback. And then from there, who knows what happens, but Carolina probably not going to be able to jump up because the Miami Dolphins went up to number 6 for a particular player, it seems. The Cincinnati Bengals are probably going to take either Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell. Who knows what the Lions are going to do at number 7? It's possible they would draft a quarterback to sit behind Goff. I'm not sure. Maybe they even auction off that pick. But Carolina clearly believed they were not going to be able to get one of the quarterbacks they wanted at number 8. So with all of that in mind, they pivoted to Sam Darnold. Joe Brady now has himself an interesting task ahead of him, because if he can take Sam Darnold, who was absolutely terrible last year, and over the course of his first 3 years with the Jets, had his moments, but for the most part was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. If Brady can elevate him to a level where Darnold is worth not only the $4 million this year, but the $20 million fifth-year option that the Panthers announced they are going to be picking up. So they are making a 2-year commitment to him. Brady does that, and he is going to be the number 1 head coaching candidate on everybody's list in the 2022 cycle. So a lot to unpack here, Nick, but boy, this is fascinating on so many levels.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on it perfectly. The Brady thing is interesting too, right? Because he's putting, you know, ultimately his head coaching career, you know, or potential career on the line in Sam Darnold, like you said. You know, if Darnold comes in next year and is solid, you know, look at Arthur Smith. He turned a Ryan Tannehill mess into a big playoff run. Obviously, Vrabel gets credit, and Derrick Henry obviously does, but Arthur Smith goes and is you know, credited with turning around Ryan Tannehill, and he gets the job in Atlanta. Now Joe Brady probably says, well, I can take another, you know, failed Adam Gase piece and turn him into a legit starting quarterback, and I'll get my head coaching shot, because he interviewed well. A lot of teams liked him, but they felt he was a little raw and didn't have that, like, McVay spunk that he has, that I guess probably catapulted McVay a little bit further than it did with someone like a Joe Brady. So, you know, I guess he's going to kind of say, well, the proof is in the pudding here. If he can turn Darnold into a legit quarterback, he's going to have the pick of the litter of any job going forward. But on the other hand, if he doesn't and Darnold is the same quarterback we saw here with the Jets, then Brady's probably not going to land a head coaching job. So it's a big risk for everybody involved in Carolina. So It's an interesting spot. I mean, Darnold will definitely have the best situation he's had over his three-year tenure with the Jets. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, one of the best offensive players in football. He gets to reunite with Robbie Anderson, who had a, you know, solid year in 2019, I believe it was. And, you know, DJ Moore is a great receiver in Carolina. And who knows what they do now with that pick. Are they going to be in the receiver market again to try and, you know, improve around Darnold? Do they get another offensive lineman? I know they tagged Taylor Moten, their tackle, who they really like, and who reunites with Pat Elflein, who they signed like the first free agency signing, which is weird. But, you know, Carolina could use help on offense, obviously, and there's some nice pieces on the defensive side of the ball, but they can use help there too. So we'll see. They keep their first and second rounder this year. I'm sure that was obviously important to them. They want to support Darnold as much as possible. They need to replace Curtis Samuel, who they lost to Washington. So that's an explosive kind of gadget player that they use all over the offense. So, you know, they have some pieces. I'm sure they'll add more. Maybe they'll be in play for Kyle Pitts. Who knows if he, you know, like you said, if those quarterbacks start going down and maybe even Atlanta takes a quarterback at four, maybe Detroit takes a quarterback if one falls. And then, you know, you have Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle. Maybe those guys are in play for Carolina. So I'm sure they wouldn't mind a run on quarterbacks now. So it is a really interesting situation in Carolina. It's a little bittersweet, right? You know, I'm sure you know, while we're relieved that it's over, I think we just all had such high expectations and were, you know, really, we really thought Darnold was going to be the guy. It felt different, right? You know, like when he fell to the Jets in 2018, you know, the Giants taking Barkley, the Jets, everybody, you know, who was a Jet fan, I mean, there was hard to find someone who wasn't thrilled with the thought of Sam Darnold coming here. And, you know, everything, there's no one could say a bad word about the guy that he is, the teammate. Maybe you would like to see a little bit more leadership. You know, what really started to turn me on him was he was a little bit too reserved, kind of just was a good soldier. And while that's good, I guess, you know, you would like to see a little bit more, you know, spunk from your quarterback, right? Some, like, a little bit of that edge to him. And he just seemed to kind of go down with the ship, the Adam Gase ship, right? And, like, even a few days after in the, you know, the post regular season interviews, you know, the exit interviews and whatnot, when you heard from him, he was still taking, you know, Adam Gase's side. And I get, like, he's not going to throw him under the bus, but, like, you want to see a little bit of something, and you never got that with Darnold. So that was, to me, it was just like, you want a little bit of that edge, especially in New York, man. You got to have something to you. And to me, Darnold was just too good of a soldier. Never wanted to ruffle feathers. And, you know, maybe he's just better off in a smaller city, you know, a team like Carolina, not much kind of fanfare or craziness going on around that team. But it was definitely the right time in terms of a major talent upgrade, because, you know, we always had this conversation. It's like, let's say Darnold does stay and they, you know, LaFleur kind of turns him around. He was the 31st ranked quarterback last year. Let's say he has a gigantic improvement and he's 15th quarterback in football. Are you going to hitch your wagon to him and give him a contract like the Jets did with Mark Sanchez in, you know, 2011 or whatever year that was? Like, turned out to be one of the biggest mistakes the Jets ever made was doing that. Are you going to relive that again and give it to Darnold with hopes that, like, he's going to improve again from 15, or was that, like, his ceiling? You know, so it just made the most sense to move on. I credit what Douglas and the staff did. They didn't leak anything. They didn't, you know, never once kind of said anything bad about Darnold that would have ruined his value to anybody else. Even the statements today that they made, it was just like, you know, like, credit to Sam and, you know, how he's, you know, the type of person he is. He's never said anything wrong. Could have trashed the Jets for the way they handled him. This, you know, the statement I'm sure we'll hear about forever with Douglas promising his parents the playmakers and the offensive line upgrades that, you know, he really didn't, you know, he didn't have truly have a chance to do it much, really, to be honest. But, you know, the fact that he didn't do it, or got to see it through. But, you know, just it was kind of just a perfect storm to move on. The timing was right financially. New coach comes in, gets his own quarterback. Douglas gets to hand pick his quarterback, even though he did really like Sam, and that's why he was excited about this job, you know, a few years ago when he took it. It was just time to do it. And, you know, again, credit for Douglas again getting his value on a trade like he did with Adams in this deal.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Nick, a lot of people were saying that the Jets might keep Sam Darnold. There were leaks about that, or at least buzz from Jeremy Fowler over at ESPN. I think the Jets were doing that to try and posture and drive up the price. Like, yeah, we'll keep Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. That's fine. We don't have to trade him. But I don't think that was ever going to happen. As I tweeted out over the weekend, I thought there was a good chance that Darnold would still be here when the Jets were on the clock at number two. I didn't mean that I thought that he was going into camp or that he was going to be competing for the job or that he would start and the rookie would sit. I just meant that I thought it was going to be a Josh Rosen type of situation where they would trade him either sometime at the end of day one or on day two or perhaps even day three. They struck now, though. Was it just because Carolina offered them a deal that they just felt they weren't going to be able to top? Otherwise, they could have held on to Darnold a little longer, I suppose, and gambled that other teams, like, say, Denver or whoever else, didn't land the quarterback that they wanted in the draft. I suppose that what happened here is that Carolina just came in strong and Douglas and the rest of his team decided that it was the best that they were going to do, so they took the deal now.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of what it is. And I think, like, man, we got to get better at, like, understanding what's going on when stuff is leaked to the media as a fan base. Like, we're so, you know, we've been through the ringer, man. Like, the Jet fans are, you know, no one loves to drag, you know, a fan base through the mud like they do with the Jets. And like, we got to get better at what we believe or, like, you know, what we listen to and what we take as truth or what we take as, like, a leverage play. Like, it was a clear leverage play for the Jets, you know, a little bit of a last ditch effort to say, yeah, we'll keep Darnold. Like, we don't have to get rid of him. He's 24, you know, we're not paying him much this season and we'll just decline his option. We'll, or whatever, we hold on him and hold on to him. It was, you know, I'm sure the Jets, because the Jets and the Panthers over the weekend were obviously talking actively. There's a difference between, like, an active negotiation, you know, a trade negotiation where deals are being offered back and forth, and the difference between teams calling to see what Darnold's going for. You know, I get the feeling that those eight or so teams were just calling to check in on the price, and those teams filled their starting quarterback position, whereas Carolina was clearly in the market for a starter. I think teams like Pittsburgh, Chicago, Washington, they were interested in Darnold as a competition to start or a down-the-line starter. Whereas Carolina was clearly one of the last teams left who was interested in Darnold as a starter. So I think where this, you know, Douglas wanted a little bit more than what was probably being offered. My guess is, like, they were offering just a future second round pick, and he probably wanted a little bit more. So maybe, like, Carolina sweetened it with the fourth round pick, which Douglas probably wanted to replace that 2022 fourth rounder that the Jets have to send to Seattle to complete the Jamal Adams trade, so he recoups that fourth round pick next year. But I mean, it was clear they were not going to have Darnold and Wilson here competing for a starting job. I mean, that's just bad, like, management. That's just a bad organization. And if Mike Maccagnan was here, but Joe Douglas is good at what he does. You could just tell. Now, ultimately, it's going to be decided on how well he drafts. And if Saleh and LaFleur are the right guys and they can actually develop these players. But you can tell Douglas knows what he's doing. It's a huge, huge difference between the former guys that were here and Joe Douglas. But again, ultimately the proof will be in how he drafts and how these players turn out. And obviously Zach Wilson starting will be the biggest decision and situation to play out. But the thought of Wilson and Darnold was just, like, laughable. I don't know. I guess just we were all just, like, desperate for news in, like, what was a slow past few weeks after free agency that, you know, anything would have set us off. So I think that's kind of you know, the media knows that. They know that the Jet, nothing sells like New York sports, and they know how to kind of egg the Jet fans on a little bit.
Let's talk about what the Jets are going to do at number two now. Obviously, the buzz is heavy about Zach Wilson, and Steve Young came out the other day on the radio and said that the Jets were committed to Zach Wilson, that they had recruited the family, that the 49ers had wanted to go up and get Zach Wilson, but realized they couldn't get high enough, so they'll settle for Fields, Lance, or Mac Jones, one of those three. He also said that in talking to the Jets coaches, they seemed committed to Wilson. Now, what's worth remembering here is that Steve Young has ties to BYU. He has ties to the Wilson family. He has ties to the 49ers organization. And he has ties to the Jets coaches because they used to be with the 49ers organization. So this is a guy who is plugged in to every part of this and has zero reason to lie. This goes along with everything we've heard all along. Is it almost set in stone now that it's going to be Zach Wilson? Is there any realistic possibility that the Jets pull some sort of swerve and grab Fields or Lance or Mac Jones?
No, I mean, unless it's like the biggest shock in like the history of the draft. I mean, for a team that's been so careful about anything getting out about their plans, this whole Zach Wilson situation has been, you know, the reason is because they have nothing to gain from any kind of like playing around here, right? Like, I think it's set in stone that Jacksonville is taking Trevor Lawrence, and if they don't want to go right ahead, the Jets will take Trevor Lawrence and, you know, thank their lucky stars. But there's no reason for them to play any games here. Like, the draft starts with them at two, and Zach Wilson is the guy that they've zeroed in on for months now, and like you said, Steve Young has nothing to gain here. You know, you can almost tell in his voice he's just so disappointed because he wants him on the Niners really bad, and he knows that that's not going to happen. So, I mean, we've just been told every time we check back in, or I check back in, it's like, yeah, it's Zach Wilson. You know, unless what I don't even know if there's an unless anymore. It's just kind of like, all right, let's just get to April 29th and. Which sucks. It's just like it's getting later and later, and we have more of this shitty season every year of this draft nonsense that goes on. But like, just get to April 29th and get on the clock and pick Zach Wilson. And I'm more worried about 23 now. You know, 23 and 34. It's like, all right, well, what do you do here? But yeah, I will be more surprised of anything being a fan or like being in the sports, you know, world or business, if they don't take Zach Wilson, then I've been of anything before. Like, that's as, like, concrete, stone-cold, like, lock that I feel like it is.
Number 23 becomes interesting now for a variety of reasons because the Jets are loaded with picks this year and next year. They've got the two first-rounders this year. They've got two third-rounders. They've got a second. They've got a fourth. They've got two fifths, two sixths. And then next year, they've got two firsts, two seconds, two fourths, a fifth. So they've got a ton of picks all the way around to use to rebuild this team. If they want to use some of them to move up from 23, they can. If they want to use some of them to move up from 34 back into the first round, they can. If they want to use some of those picks to move up from the third round into the second round, they can. So a lot of flexibility here for Joe Douglas to play around with. One interesting aspect of all of this, though, that hasn't gotten talked about is Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to get traded because if you heard what Scott Fitterer, the new general manager there, said, it essentially was a statement that he wants to do right by Teddy Bridgewater, whether it's there or somewhere else. Whenever a general manager says that, that means somewhere else. And it makes sense because Teddy Bridgewater is making a lot of money. And let's be real about this, Nick. In an open competition, there's a very good chance that Teddy Bridgewater beats out Sam Darnold. And after giving up what they just gave up, the Carolina Panthers do not want to see that happen. So Bridgewater will hit the bricks. The question becomes, where does he go? Is someone going to trade for that contract? If he redoes it, maybe, but I'm not so sure. The interesting thing is, though, he's got $20 million in dead cap. So are they really going to be able to afford to release him? Maybe they can trade him for a conditional pick if nobody's willing to assume that contract for a guy who's going to be a backup. I was saying to you that I would gladly take Teddy Bridgewater back here in a second if it wasn't for the fact that his price is so high. If they were able to work out something where he would be a lot less expensive, like you said, maybe kick some of that money over to the following year, you'd consider it. But otherwise, I'm not really sure how this works out. Where does Teddy Bridgewater go? Because I don't see a situation where he's likely to start, and I can't see any team paying him the amount of money that's left on his contract. So I suppose he can either rework it or he can dig his heels in and refuse to give up any of that money. Either way, I don't see him in Carolina, but I'm not sure where he goes.
You don't go and trade for Darnold after, you know, kind of, you know, flirting with every available quarterback to come, you know, to be potentially available or available this offseason, and have, you know, a guy like Teddy come back. I mean, Teddy's so well respected that, you know, do you really want to do that to a guy like him? You know, what Fitterer said, like, we're going to find the best spot for him. If that's here or somewhere else, it's somewhere else. Like, they're not going to bring him back. And, you know, maybe they do end up cutting him and just swallowing that dead hit this year, since Darnold's not making too much, have him completely off the books going forward. Maybe he does rework his deal and, you know, finds a way to get traded somewhere like New England, Seattle, like a good spot that doesn't exactly have a loaded quarterback room. I think Seattle doesn't really have a backup quarterback. I think Geno Smith is still a free agent. I don't think they have somebody, you know, someone, I'm thinking of offenses that he can kind of fit into. I mean, New Orleans would have made a ton of sense if they didn't have Jameis, but maybe it's something like after the draft they look, and a team that doesn't, you know, doesn't land a quarterback, or a team that's looking for a veteran can grab Teddy. And I mean, he's as good as a backup quarterback you're gonna find, somebody who can win games as a starter. I mean, we've seen it. But I mean, it's tough because of a lot of the teams don't have the available cap space right now. I believe the Jets are like top five with $25 million left. I'd have to kind of go through it and see who has what. Maybe Jacksonville to back up Lawrence. I don't know if they – oh, no, they signed P.J. Beathard. Maybe San Francisco, like you talked about, if they do trade Jimmy, you know, the salaries kind of match up, and maybe they like Jimmy – maybe they like Teddy a little bit more behind – the rookie that they get instead of Jimmy G. So I'm sure he'll be on a team next year. I highly doubt it's Carolina. And I would, of course, especially if he gets released, I think the Jets would be smart to look into signing him. They'll definitely sign somebody, whether it's like a Nick Mullins, or they do go, you know, the veteran route, because they don't have anybody. You know, you're going with Zach Wilson and a pretty bad pick. I mean, I think by everybody's own admission, or Douglas's probably own admission, and James Morgan last year as, you know, your only quarterback. So if it is a veteran guy, if it's somebody who shakes free after the draft because a team picked a quarterback, but the Jets should have an option, you know, options there. But I mean, Teddy's interesting. I mean, Teddy is, everybody likes him, you know, teammates love him, every organization. He had a good, the Jets organization, had nothing but good things to say about him, and vice versa. So I'm sure if that opportunity did arise later, if he was released, I don't think they would trade for him and take down that money. Otherwise, he would have probably been in this deal. But if he does get released, and you're talking about maybe like a one-year deal for $6-8 million, why not? I mean, he could do a lot worse than Teddy Bridgewater.
One guy who could be a very interesting name for the New York Jets to consider is the guy that I just compared Teddy Bridgewater to earlier in the show, mm-hmm. and that's Alex Smith. He's a free agent. He's older. We know that he's not anything close to what he used to be. But here's an interesting thought. Zach Wilson went to BYU. Alex Smith went to Utah. Two guys that played their college ball in Utah, one of them could mentor the other. So that's a name to keep in mind as well. Of the available options, he seems to be at the top of the list, of course, unless something could be worked out with somebody like Teddy Bridgewater. Nick Spano of U Stadium, co-founder, did a great job in sniffing out this story. He was the first one to identify Carolina as the team, and he stuck to his guns, saying that the Jets We're going to get a second and change. They did. So great job on this one, Nick. You've been killing it all off season. And if people want to see all of these stories before other people pick it up, or they just want to be able to interact with other hardcore football fans like themselves, they got to do one thing, right? Download the U Stadium app.
Yes, sir. Download the U Stadium app, turn the notifications on, and you're all set. So I appreciate that, Scott. I appreciate the support and the kind words throughout the off season. And, you know, we're what, 2.5 weeks away from the draft. So slowly but surely, download the app, App Store, Google Play, all that. You can access it on ustadium.com too. And, definitely join the community. It's a great group of fans, diehard fans. Like you said, news is always flowing out over there, and, just a really cool platform for diehard football fans.
Make sure to download the app. Play Like a Jet is going to be doing a lot with U Stadium coming up. I'm really excited about that. So if you want more of our content, it'll be over there as well. But download the U Stadium app wherever you download your apps. And also wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you give us a 5-star review. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets content and podcasts, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.